Good morning. For Bill Lynch, this is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. With a boost from recession-weary consumers, the economy grew at a 2% annual rate over the first 3 months of the year. The gain, about what economists had expected, is the best since the first 3 months of the Bush presidency, though not strong enough to put a dent in unemployment. Even so, economist David Weiss is pleased.
It's clear that the American consumer, after having been very cautious and careful during the Christmas season, went out and rewarded himself with a trip to the shopping mall during the first quarter.
Traffic flowing toward automobile showrooms helped General Motors report a $179 million first quarter profit, its first black ink in a year and a half. University of Michigan professor David Cole follows the auto industry.
There's good news, there's no question about that in the profits, but still there is a long way to go if we're going to return to the kind of profitability that this industry needs to sustain itself over the long period of time.
Last year, GM lost a record $4.5 billion and was forced to announce unprecedented cutbacks and management changes. In another report on the economy released this morning, the government said pay and benefits for American workers rose an average 4% in the year ended March 31st. Despite heated Senate and congressional races, few Pennsylvanians are expected to vote in today's primaries. On the Democratic side, presidential frontrunner Bill Clinton hopes to hit all the right notes, as Barry Bagnato reports.
Clinton picked up a saxophone and played last night in Philadelphia, tuning up for what will likely be one of the biggest wins of his campaign. The polls show him far ahead here. His campaign has found a rhythm after weeks of fits and starts. That's not to say Pennsylvanians are completely sold on the Arkansas governor. Linda Famiglio, a Philadelphia doctor, says she's still waiting for a candidate she'll like.
Clinton clearly has a long-term connections with many special interest groups and big givers. I mean, it's no different than any other major politician.
Tony Tyler is going to vote for Clinton despite his concerns.
I'm just going to have to take a chance, you know, and see what happens. But I'm definitely don't want to see Bush in there no more, definitely.
The bottom line is that Clinton's delegate count keeps climbing. A big Pennsylvania win would push him a giant step closer to the nomination. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, with the Clinton campaign, Philadelphia.
This is Nick Young with the Brown campaign. Jerry Brown's quest for the Democratic nomination moves today to Indiana, which holds its primary in a week. Brown finished campaigning in Pennsylvania with a swing through the economically hard-hit western part of the state, where he hammered away at his message that the political process is hamstrung by big money interests. And at a high school rally in New Kensington, he singled out Ross Perot and Bill Clinton, though he mentioned neither by name.
We got a situation now where we got a billionaire who's going to try to buy the presidency with his own money. We got another situation where people are going to try to buy the presidency with the money of the rich, the privileged, and the entrenched power.
Brown keeps stressing that he's in the race to stay, despite the all but certain loss he faces today in another big state. Nick Young, CBS News, with the Brown campaign, Pittsburgh.
Republican Arlen Specter is favored to win renomination in a Senate contest dominated by Specter's role during the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill hearings. Pennsylvania could give President Bush the delegates he needs to clinch renomination. A new Los Angeles Times poll shows possible third-party candidate Ross Perot running even with the president in California, with Bill Clinton third. In a two-way race, the president would beat Clinton. At a fundraiser in Charlotte, North Carolina last night, the president was beating up on another nemesis, one he said stands in the way of economic recovery.
The Congress could get this recovery moving quicker and stronger if we would pass the package that I sent up to Congress in January.
Congress returns to work today from a two-week spring break to face major fights over spending, unemployment, and abortion, and new controversy in the House bank affair. The special counsel investigating the House bank says he's found possible evidence of criminal check-kiting involving members' accounts. He doesn't say whether members or House officials are suspected of wrongdoing. It's 4 minutes after seven.
It will start in 1996. Gasoline sold here in California will have to meet strict new emission standards. Standards set recently by the state's Air Resources Board. Standards that will help achieve clean air. But what will these emission standards mean to California drivers?
As I understand it, the new gasoline will burn cleaner.
Then we won't have to buy a different kind of car.
Or modify our cars.
Some of those other alternative fuels you hear about sound like you need a different type of engine.
Well, I'm all for clean air, but I want to keep my car.
Yeah, right.
The 1996 standards are for clean-burning, reformulated gasolines that won't require changes in your car or the way you drive.
That's good, the way it should be.
And it was ARCO that led the way. with its latest advance in emission control formulas called ECX.
When California decided its 1996 emission standards, they used our ECX as an example.
Mm-hmm. It'll help achieve clean air faster, more practically, and more economically than alternative fuels considered so far.
Clean fuels for the future from ARCO.
There was more gunfire in Afghanistan today, but this time most of it was part of a celebration as the new provisional government steamed into Kabul. Terry Phillips says that.
Afghanistan's interim leader, Sigatullah Mujahidi, arrived in the capital city with a convoy of cars and trucks carrying thousands of heavily armed rebel warriors. They fired their weapons into the air, celebrating the victory over the former communist regime. Mujahidi is to set up a transitional government, eventually leading to democratic rule. But Afghans remain divided on who should control the country now. After 14 years of civil war, these battle-weary guerrillas are fighting among themselves. Despite a declared ceasefire, rival rebel factions shelled each other's positions again this morning. A peaceful settlement to this conflict is not here yet. Terry Phillips for CBS News, Kabul.
Officials from the Commonwealth of Independent States were to meet today to try again to resolve the dispute over the old Soviet Black Sea Fleet. Anthony Mason reports from Moscow.
Both Russia and Ukraine are claiming most of the nuclear-capable fleet's 300 ships as their own. The dispute has repeatedly threatened the stability of the Commonwealth. Officially, the fleet is still under the Commonwealth's command, but Ukraine has already set up its own naval headquarters and named its own Navy commander. Ships based in Ukrainian waters, the admiral insists, should be Ukrainian. The crisis has paralyzed the proud fleet. In its home port of Sevastopol, the destroyer Red Crimea has been anchored awaiting repairs since last July. But no one wants to pay until they know who will get the warship. Preparing for the talks, both delegations have backed off on the rhetoric, but they haven't backed down on their demands. And most officers reluctantly acknowledge that a painful breakup of the fleet is all but inevitable. Anthony Mason, CBS News, Moscow.
Russia and a dozen other former Soviet republics will be able to get billions of dollars in loans now that they've been accepted as members of the International Monetary Fund. But for Russian President Boris Yeltsin, it means swallowing some pride. And Jonathan Sanders in Moscow tells us he's swallowing hard in the face of IMF demands for economic reforms.
Yeltsin commented that the Russian government would not take orders from any international organization. This is not Yeltsin rejecting aid from abroad. On the contrary, it's a difference on how best to use the aid. Yeltsin is asserting Russian sovereignty. He's saying, in effect, Russia is a country more than 1,000 years old. We're not some third world banana republic that needs to be told what to do by international bankers. Yeltsin has to balance international economic policies with his domestic policies. That's what's at work here.
Jonathan Sanders in Moscow. It's 8 minutes after the hour.
You're hearing news on KNX 1070.
3 years ago, the future of Los Angeles looked hazy. But a press conference held by Lod Cook, chairman of ARCO, changed that forever.
This morning, we're announcing a new gasoline, a cleaner burning gasoline.
It was August 15th, 1989. ARCO had introduced the world's first reformulated emission-controlled gasoline. By 1990, the impact of ARCO's reformulated gasolines became clear.
In local news, a breath of fresh air. The AQMD has reported the lowest smog levels in 40 years. Cleaner burning fuels were cited as one reason for this.
And today, ARCO still leads the way to cleaner air with its most advanced emission control formula called ECX.
When the state decided its 1996 standards for reformulated gasolines, they used our ECX as an example.
Those standards will bring clean air to California more economically, more practically, and more quickly than other alternative fuels yet considered. Clean fuels for the future from ARCO.
The United States has suspended drug surveillance flights over Peru, where Peruvian jets fired on an unarmed Air Force plane last Friday. One airman was lost at sea, two others wounded. The Pentagon says Peruvian planes strafed the C-130 three times in what it calls an unprovoked attack. A trailer park shootout in North Reno, Nevada last night left four people dead, three others wounded. Police suspect it began as a landlord-tenant disagreement. Francis Bacon, one of Britain's greatest 20th century painters, died today in Madrid. He was 82. The Conference Board says consumer confidence was up about 9 points in April. The government says new home sales in March fell 15%. After 30 minutes on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average was down 5 points. It's 10 past.